The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but no one gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. When you hear the story of the prodigal son, there's part of you that is tempted to reach up inside your head and flip a little off switch and say to yourself, "I've heard this one before. I know how this ends. What am I going to get at the grocery store on my way home from church today?" Right? Don't tune out when you hear the prodigal son, because the importance of this parable can't be overestimated. If Jesus could preach only one parable, this would have been the one. This parable is a summary of the entire message of the Bible, no exaggeration, in which the prodigal represents ourselves. And the father represents God and a mercy and a love, the depth of which most of us have not yet experienced. Now, whenever you hear the story of the prodigal read, most often the focus is on the prodigal son. Very often, the focus is on the father, but almost never do we hear about the other main character in the story, the character of the older son. And I think we should take a moment just to do that, because the older son is just as misguided, just as broken, just as hurt, and stands just as much in need of healing. Now, the prodigal son, give him credit, right? Give him credit. At least he knew what he wanted in life. He wanted nothing to do with the Father, and he made it clear, Father, give me my share of what's coming to me. He wanted it. He got it. Might not exactly be virtuous, but daggumbit, it was honest. But the older son, he left too. The older son left his father long ago. He just never bothered moving out of the house. How far away from the father was the older son? Well, when the biggest news in town strikes that his brother has returned back home, he's nowhere to be seen. He's somewhere way out in the field. And he has to learn the news secondhand from a farmhand that his brother, after having squandered all of his father's property in loose living, has come back home on the flimsiest of motives. Not because he's sorry that he broke the father's heart. Not because he wants to be a member of the family again. He comes back because he wants a decent meal. And the father slaughters the fattened calf and puts on an enormous party, and the older son is angry, and he says, look, for all these years I've served you, and I never disobeyed your orders. And the father says, served? Orders? Who do you think I am? And you know the trouble with the older son? It's a trouble that all of us have as well, every last one of us, your priest included. It's that we think that love has to be earned. And the older son has listed up a whole book full of accomplishments that he thinks has earned his father's love, and he spent his whole life doing it. Suddenly his younger son comes back home, proves him completely wrong on his whole life's thesis, and he's angry about it. Father has won back the heart of the prodigal, goes out into the field to win back the heart of the older son, because there's a question. And it's churning in your heart, even right now. Even if you never stop to think about it, there's a question in every last one of our hearts. And that question is, when will I be loved? Because we do not really believe in unconditional love. We have to learn it. We have to meet it. The prodigal son met it. He met it when he met his father, as if for the very first time. Not as an obstacle standing in his way, not as a piggy bank to be looted, but as the only person in the entire world who ever really loved him. The older son hasn't learned that lesson yet, and you want to know something, God, something honest? Most of us haven't learned that lesson yet either. Here's one thing that you recognize. I don't know, I recognize it as a priest. Maybe you recognize it, you know, rank and file, doing all kinds of things for the church, but a lot of people who are converts to the Catholic faith, they're so filled with enthusiasm because they've discovered a treasure. Other people who have turned away from big sins and have encountered God's mercy, they're on fire with the faith because they've come across a treasure. A lot of us cradle Catholics who have lived our lives in the church, we're just like this older son. We fail to recognize who's right under our own roof, the greatest treasure that could ever be had, and completely without any earning on our own part, the treasure that is the love of the Father. We need to learn that as well. And this is the only parable of Jesus that doesn't have an ending. Do you know that? Every other parable of Jesus has an ending, but this one leaves us hanging. Leaves us hanging. What? How does it end? What happens? Does the older brother ever reconcile? Does he go into the house? Does he join the party? Does he dig in his heels? Does he stay out in the field? We don't know. The ending isn't in the story, because only you can end it. The most important character in the prodigal son story isn't in the story. The most important character is you, with a challenge in the depths of your prayer and your Lenten conversion. Try to understand the treasure that the Father has for you every single moment of every single day. If you only had an hour to live, I would advise you to say one prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. Don't let the focus be on your past and on your sins. Don't let the focus be on your fear or on your doubt. Put your trust in the Lord That's what I say to all those who I'm going to anoint them in the hospital or wherever. Just pray this prayer over and over and don't ever think about anything else. Jesus, I trust in you. I'm convinced anyone who dies with that prayer on their lips will not be lost. Someone once told me long ago, God's mercy belongs to those who do not deserve it. So as we make our way through this Lenten journey to understand the love of God, let's try to understand the meaning of the words that the Father says to the older son, "Everything that I have is yours." Let's try to understand what it means to return back to the Father, even if we never left home. Amen.